I would like to welcome my senior and worshipable god sister, who was very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada and all Vaishnavas, the illustrious wife of His Grace Purijan Prabhu. Let us very enthusiastically welcome Jagatarini Mataji. It's actually offensive to not chant very loudly when such a great Vaishnava. Mataji Haribo. We are very honored that you have come. We feel that Sri Radharani is personally blessing us in your presence. And of course, Her Grace Malati Devi Mataji is also with us today. Let us once again show our gratitude to her. By the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, our most merciful previous acharyas, and the assembled Vaishnavas, we have come to one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, Kadiravan. We are sitting on the banks of Madhuri Kund, also known as Sangam Kund. This is a place where Krishna would meet Sri Radharani and gopis, and they would perform Rasleela and so many extraordinary pastimes here. Kadiravan is also a place where Sri Krishna Balaram and the gopas eternally perform their Leela as cowherd boys. One day, Krishna Balaram and cowherd boys came to a large reservoir of water. The gopas first had the calves drink the cool ambrosia waters of Vrindavan, and then the gopas would also drink themselves. After drinking to their full satisfaction, they all sat back to relax. Suddenly, before their eyes, they saw a most astonishing sight. It looked like an enormous mountain that was moving. This was a friend of Kamsa, Bagasura, who assumed the form of a gigantic duck with a long pointed beak that was deadly like a sword. Suddenly, Bakasura leaped upon them, and within an instant, before anyone knew what was happening, Bakasura swallowed up Krishna. Sri Balaram and the gopas were in anguish. All of a sudden, Krishna was gone, eaten by this enormous demon. Balaram and the gopas, in anguish, fell to the ground unconscious, practically breathless, on the verge of death. Now, Balaramji, he had the power to easily kill this demon. But due to the sudden disappearance of Krishna, due to his intense affection for Krishna, even he became completely affected. Krishna, who was then in the throat of Bakasura, his effulgence radiated intense heat. It was unbearable for Bakasura, unbearable. He was trying as much as he can to just devour and destroy Krishna, but the heat was intolerable. Just as when a person has a disease called jaundice, when he eats sugar candy, which is very sweet by nature, it tastes bitter. Because of this demon's disease of envy and violence, the sweetest of all sweet. It was being described yesterday that there is nothing sweeter than Krishna's beautiful form and his beautiful face is extraordinarily sweet, and his very smile is the source of all sweetness in all of creation, material and spiritual. The form of Krishna. Actually, Krishna is not different than prasad, so we also eat Krishna in that sense. But Krishna's happy, and prasad tastes very nice to us because Krishna reciprocates with us as prasad. Prasad is Krishna's mercy, which is not different than Krishna. It is his energy. Bakasura swallowed Krishna directly. Although he's sweeter than the sweetest, because of his diseased consciousness, he tastes Krishna as very, very bitter. Krishna tells in Gita, Yeya tamam prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart manu vartante manushya parata sarvasya. According to how we surrender Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. Krishna's body is cool, soft, tender, like the petal of a lotus flower, a blue lotus flower. But to Bakasura, Krishna's form was hard and burning hot as a thunderbolt. It was unbearable. Ultimately, Bakasura could do nothing but vomit Krishna out of his mouth. And then Krishna was there on the ground, and Bakasura, with that massive, deadly, rape-sharp sword of a beak, he tried to stab Krishna and pinch Krishna to kill him. But Krishna very gracefully, very pleasingly, just dodged in a dancing way all of the attempts. But when this demon was trying to kill Krishna, the cowherd boys in Balaram, they were in anguish. They were suffering terribly due to their intense love for Krishna. When Krishna saw that, in order to please the gopas, with one hand he grabbed the bottom of Bakasura's beak. And with the other hand he took the top part of the beak. And then he pulled them apart with such force that he literally ripped Bakasura's face in half. He bifurcated the demon just like a small child effortlessly bifurcates a piece of Virana grass. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! Bakasura fell dead. And the demigods, they were so very much rejoicing. They were showering Malika flowers upon Krishna. And they were playing conch shells and offering prayers. And the cowherd boys, headed by Balaram, they regained their life. And they all approached Krishna one by one and embraced him with such loving feelings. Coming from Kadiravan, they returned to the village of Braj. And they had already composed beautiful songs about the Leela of Krishna's killing Bakasura. And they were singing very, very loudly. They were playing their flutes and playing their buffalo horns. And they all came with the decorated with the dust of the cows, smiling and dancing with their little, calves. They came to Braj, and all the Brajavasis heard this beautiful song. When they heard the song, the story of how Bakasura swallowed Krishna, the gopas and the gopis, they gazed upon Krishna, lovingly gazed upon him, as if he had just come back from death. And Nanda Maharaj, he was exclaiming how amazing it is that every time a cause of death comes before our Gopal, the cause of death is killed. It is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, protects innocent and helpless children like our Krishna. And then he remarked, the words of Garga Muni are true. Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas spent that evening together discussing ecstatically the pastimes of Krishna. They were describing amongst each other with hearts overflowing with love Krishna's mischievous deeds and his killing of demons. At that time, some elder gopas from a distant place came to Vrindavan. And they saw Nanda Maharaj and gopas all discussing Krishna's stealing butter and Krishna's doing all mischievous, naughty things. And these elder cowherd men, they were very serious. They said, what you were doing? Human life is very rare. Human life is meant for liberation. You should not discuss family and wives and children. This is the cause of bondage. You should be discussing transcendental knowledge, detachment. You should be describing the glories of the Supreme Lord Narayan. Then you will attain liberation. Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas completely ignored everything that was said. In fact, they paid no attention whatsoever. They just continued discussing the beautiful, beautiful pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and chanting their holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us that Bakasura represents the demoniac anarta of deceptive behavior, duplicity and hypocrisy. It is a great demon that kills our propensity for loving service to Krishna. Deceptive behavior. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the first quality of a real Vaishnava is simplicity. And Prabhupada describes what is simplicity. Simplicity means without duplicity. Without a separate agenda. We don't speak one thing and mean another thing. We don't speak one thing to deceive people for our own selfish purposes. Deception is an expression of the false ego. We must be honest. We must be simple. We must be truthful. Now we read in Krishna's Leela how Krishna would steal butter and say, I didn't do it. Krishna would eat dirt at Brahmandagat and said, I didn't eat dirt, mother. If you believe, my friends are liars. And Sri Radha and Krishna, they would perform so many wonderful and mysterious leelas to meet. Just like not far from here is Kokilaban, where Sri Radharani and Gopis, many were living in Yavat. under the care of Jatila Kutila Abhimanu. And at Kokilaban, Krishna would make a beautiful song. He would sing just like a cuckoo bird, Kokila. What can we say after that? All knowledge of Vedas is in Dinabandhu Prabhu's rendition of Kokila Bird. So he was singing so sweet like Kokila. Even the Kokilas were trying to learn how to sing from him. They were listening, taking notes. Very nice, very sweet. And all this, even this, Krishna and Gopis, I mean Radharani and Gopis were listening, so nice, so nice. The Kokilas are singing so sweetly, and it's just coming to the evening time. We want to hear these Kokila birds singing nicely. So Jatila Kutila, yes, yes, you go, and you go listen to the Kokila birds. And they went. Haribo. So these beautiful pastimes, Rupa Goswami says the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are curving like snake, in the sense of that is what Madhurya Ras in Parakhiya is. But we should understand that this is expressions of the highest levels of divine love. If we, as aspiring devotees, think that we can adopt crookedness, deceptiveness, and duplicity, thinking that's Krishna Lila, then we are very, very much cheating our own selves and cheating others as well. Devotees must be very honest, they must be very truthful, and they must be very simple at heart. Prabhupada explains the importance of love and trust within this movement. Love and trust amongst Vaishnavas in general. Unless we trust each other, how can love be cultivated? Very difficult. And how can we trust each other if we don't believe what each other are saying? If we're thinking that this person is saying one thing, but really he means another thing. This person is saying one thing, but really he wants something else. Or she. Cannot be trust. Sometimes Prabhupada would teach book distributors transcendental trickery. Yes. But it was to be done in a very innocent and compassionate way. It was done in a way to enlighten and encourage a person who was about to fall off the mountain of material existence. Yes, Srila Prabhupada explained, a young boy is playing with a kite on the rooftop, and he's so absorbed in playing with that kite, he's about to fall off the roof, and you have to somehow or other stop him. You may have to say something, like, your mother's calling, please come. Or, it may not be true, but you're saving that person's life. Prabhupada said, a mother, sometimes the child will not eat medicine, and the child will die if it doesn't eat that medicine. So the mother will take the medicine and put it in laddu, and say, this is laddu. He said, no, it's medicine. No, no, it's laddu. Is there medicine? No, no, no medicine, laddu. Is that deceptiveness? That's love. That's compassion. That's transcendental trickery. But when we carry that concept or that idea in our daily life and think that we can say anything or do anything to fulfill what we want or fulfill the needs of my particular service, we commit offenses. Then devotees can't trust each other. And when there's no trust, when there's lack of trust, it's a horrible atmosphere. This is one of the most important principles in Vaishnava society, is simplicity. No duplicity. Where we have confidence and faith in each other. And hypocrisy. Hypocrisy really means we're saying something for our own personal interests. In the name of devotional service. This is actually the influence of Bakasura. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
So we must somehow or other, we must take shelter of Krishna and take shelter of Krishna's holy name to kill this tendency of deceptive duplicity, hypocrisy within our hearts. We must pray. We must practice as an austerity, honesty, and simplicity. And we must really, really, really cry out Krishna's holy name. We have just all visited the Bhajan Kutir of Lokanath Goswami, the spiritual master of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He, as well as Bhugarbha Goswami, lived in Kadirabad for many years. I'd like to speak briefly on this subject. Please listen carefully. Lokanath Goswami was born in the Jessore district of where is now Bangladesh. Have any of you been to the Jessore district of Bangladesh? It's a very holy place. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami took birth there, as well as Anupam. Haridas Thakur also appeared there, and Lokanath Goswami. His father's name was Padmanab Chakravarti, and his mother was Sita. When he was young, he moved to Srinavadvip Dham, where he became one of the very intimate, loving associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lokanath Goswami participated in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorious leela of establishing the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And for years he lived with the Lord. When the Lord was 24 years of age, he had already, with his beautiful golden form and his heart of unlimited compassion, completely stolen the hearts of all of his devotees. Day and night, they would just do Hari Kirtan with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that the house of Srivas was Rasastali. The leela of Kirtan there was none different than the Rasa dance of Braj. One day, Lord Chaitanya brought Lokanath Goswami to a secluded place and revealed his heart to him. He said, Lokanath, in a few days, I am going to leave Navadvip. I'm going to shave my head and put on the saffron robes of a sannyasi. I know that this leela will break your heart miserably. You should not be here to witness this. It is my desire that you leave Navadvip now and go to Vrindavan. After taking sannyas, it is my plan that I will go to Vrindavan to reside. And you can prepare for my arrival. Now go to Vrindavan. When Lokanath Goswami heard that, he fainted. And when he came back to consciousness, he was weeping incessantly, weeping and weeping and weeping. He fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu, begging him, please, why do you want to cut that beautiful, long, mystifying hair? It is the object of everyone's love and attraction. And how could you leave your mother and all of your friends and your young and innocent, chaste, loving wife? How? But Mahaprabhu explains to him that this is my mission. I must. Lokanath Goswami's heart was broken. He pleaded with the Lord, but when he understood that the Lord was determined in his resolution to become sannyasi, Lokanath Goswami accepted the Lord's order as his life and soul. First, Lokanath Goswami fell at the feet of every Vaishnav in Navadvip and begged for their blessings and their mercy to go to Vrindavan. This is how Lokanath Goswami taught us we should approach Vrindavan. Not the mood that, oh, there's a yatra, I'll get my train ticket and I'll make my accommodation at the Radhesham ashram and have nice, nice, perfect darshan of Vrindavan Dham. See, she doesn't like that idea. We should be crying for mercy like little Varshavanavi Devi. No, like Lokanath Goswami, before he went to Vrindavan, he fell at the feet of every devotee and weeping with humility, he begged them for blessings. He worshipped them. He literally worshipped every devotee. And then he came to Lord Chaitanya and fell at his feet and bathed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet with his loving tears. And Mahaprabhu lifted him up and embraced him and said, after receiving the sannyas mantra from Keshav Bharati in Katva, Kantaka Nagara, I will meet you in Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami departed. He left Navadvip Dham. Now please understand, at that time there were no Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. This is before Rup Sanatan or Jiva Goswami, or this is before any of the other Goswamis even met Lord Chaitanya. He departed. And on the way to Vrindavan, which is quite a long walk, his heart was just pounding in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The only thing that kept him alive was the expectation of seeing the Lord again in Vrindavan. But even that was driving his mind crazy, because when I see him, he will be with shaved head and in the robes of a sannyasi, with a danda. In this way he traveled to Vrindavan, waiting, waiting, waiting. Here in Vrindavan he waited and waited. He lived for the darshan of the Lord. But then he heard news. Drastic news. which was like a thunderbolt crashing against his soft, tender heart. He heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and was chanting ecstatically, kirtan, dancing all the way to Vrindavan. But in his intoxicated, loving state, Nityananda Prabhu diverted his path to Shantipur. And there, Sachimata and all the devotees of Navadvip came to meet him. And Sachimata and all the devotees appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please make your residence in Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan is so very far away. And then he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left Puri. And now he is on a tour of South India. Lokanath Goswami could not tolerate. He could not even tolerate living in Vrindavan without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left and walked all the way to South India by foot. And when he got to the southern provinces of Bharat, Varsha, South India, he got the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already, he was walking and walking for over a year now, Lokanath Goswami, just searching for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he got the news that Mahaprabhu, for about 2 years, was traveling South India. He's already returned to Jagannath Puri. So then Lokanath Swami starts walking, 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 walking to Puri. And when he comes to the outskirts of Puri, he hears the news that sometime back, because in those days, you see, there was no emails or telephones or any of these cell phones. It wasn't easy getting. Mahaprabhu was just traveling South India walking. How the people in Puri, the devotees in Navadvip, what news were they getting from him? Practically nothing until he returned. They practically heard nothing about where he was, whether he was still on the planet. They didn't know anything until he came back. And Balabhadra and Kal Krishnadas and others explained his leelas. So Lokanath Goswami comes to Puri and he fears the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan. I'm supposed to be there to greet him. He gave me the order to arrange for his arrival. So really, as quickly as he could possibly walk, he walked all the way to Vrindavan, and he came to Vrindavan to get the news that just days before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Vrindavan. He arrived on Kartik Purnima. He performed the parikrama of the 12 forests. He resided at Kruraghat. He stayed in Vrindavan for 2 months. But now he has departed for Prayag, for the Magh Mela. And he was looking for you, Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami fell unconscious. He was in so much anguish. He didn't. The one service the Lord gave him, he missed the opportunity to offer it. He arrived at night. He decided, first thing the next morning, he's leaving for Prayag. But that night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a divine vision. The beautiful form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu expressed his deep love and pleasure toward Lokanath Goswami and told him that I wish that you remain in Vrindavan and never again leave. That is my desire. Soon Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatti Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Jiva Goswami, soon they will be coming also. You should live together with them as brothers to fulfill my mission in Vrindavan. Now you stay. Lokanath Goswami wandered through the 12 forests. And then he decided to make his residence in Kadiravan. In the province of Chatravan, near the village of Umrao, Lokanath Goswami lived under a simple tree in a very, very secluded place on the banks of Kishori Kund. There he lived in seclusion. Every now and then, Bhugarbha Goswami, a very prominent disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who was very dear friends with Lokanath Goswami, would come and they would do their bhajan together. And then Bhugarbha Goswami would travel to other places. But Lokanath Goswami remained here in Kishori Kund of Kadiravan, absorbed in chanting the holy names and remembering the beautiful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Govinda. In his heart, he cherished the desire to render personal service to the Lord's deity form. He did not express this desire to anyone, but Krishna knew his desire. One day, Krishna personally appeared in the form of a Brahmin in the secluded forest of Kadiravan. That Brahmin approached Lokanath Goswami and put something in his hands and then disappeared. Lokanath Goswami saw it was beautiful deity. Beautiful deities. Lokanath Goswami was astonished. Who was that person? And where did he go? He was really confused. And then the deity, Radha Vinod, spoke to Lokanath Goswami. Radha Vinod said, I have been living in this forest for a very, very long time, waiting for you. I know the desire of your heart. Therefore, I have personally come to you without the help of anyone else. When Lokanath Goswami heard this, his heart just flooded in ecstasy and he wept tears uncontrollably. Radha Vinod spoke. He said, I am hungry. Please prepare food for me. So Lokanath Goswami, although he was in very, very, very great ecstasy, he understood that life is meant for service. So he went to the village of Umrao and begged for some food. And he got some fruits and some roots from the ground and he brought it together and he cooked bhog feast for Radha Vinod. He made a little altar for them under a tree. And then what he cooked with his own loving hands, he served it on a simple leaf plate that he made with his own hands. After offering the bhog and worshipping the Lord, he had nothing. He went out and collected flowers from the forest. And with those flowers he brought back and with his own hands made a beautiful flower bed. Just bed of flowers on the ground. And then with tears of affection and folded palms, he prayed to Radha Vinod, please, please take rest now and accept this bed of flowers that I am offering. Then he laid the deities down on the bed of flowers. And Lokanath Swami lovingly massaged the legs and the feet of Radha Vinod. Then he went out and collected leaves and made a fan. Sometimes he would collect peacock feathers and make fan. And he would fan the deity as the deity rested. In this way, Lokanath Goswami dedicated his life and soul exclusively for the worship of Sri Sri Radha Vinod. Please understand, he had no facilities. Just whatever he found in the forest, he would make the facilities with his own hands. He would make the plates for the deities. He would personally cook the bhog from whatever he could bag or whatever he found in the jungles. Very simple. But it was offered with such pure, unalloyed love. One day Lokanath Goswami begged and got some old piece of cloth. And with that cloth, with his own hands, he sewed a bag to keep the deity in. That was Radha Vinod's temple for years, a little bag. Now, for those of you who have been to Jaipur and see the original deities of Radha Vinod, they're about this big. He had no temple. He kept them in this bag that he sewed with his own hands. And he had a strap, he would wear it around his neck. And wherever he went, he would never leave the deities alone. Anywhere he would go, he would bring the deities with him, take them out of the bag and worship them. Some of the villagers from Umrao, Chatravan, Kadiravan, they came to Lokanath Goswami because they saw such beautiful, beautiful, self-manifested deity. They wanted to build a temple for him. But Lokanath Goswami would not allow them to build a temple. This was his simplicity. He just worshipped Radha Vinod in the forest and carried him in this little bag for many, many years here in Kadiravan. And just here is the Bhajan Kutir, the place where Lokanath Goswami, one of the places in Kadiravan where he would personally worship Radha Vinod. Years passed, and Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came to Vrindavan. And they met with Lokanath Goswami and expressed their desire that you should come to Vrindavan. We should all be together. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will. Let us be together. So on the request of Rupa and Sanatan, who Lokanath Goswami so humbly accepted like his Shiksha Gurus, he left Kadiravan to reside in Vrindavan. And later on, in that same place where he worshipped Radha Vinod, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was a descendant in his disciplic line, established the worship of Radha Gokulananda. So today, where we visit the Radha Gokulananda temple, that is the place where Lokanath Goswami did his worship. Years passed. Sanatan Goswami ended his earthly leela. A couple years later, Sri Rupa Goswami ended his earthly leela. Lokanath Goswami, previous to that, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended his earthly leela. Lokanath Goswami, just one after another, first his worshipable Lord Mahaprabhu had left, then Rupa and Sanatan had left. He practically spent his whole life just crying in separation while worshipping Radha Vinod. The only thing that kept him alive was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him that Narottam Das is coming and I want you to take care of him. Narottam Das Thakur, born as a prince in Khetri Gram, also Bangladesh today. He left all the wealth and prestige of his home, escaped, and came to Vrindavan. He met Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Lokanath Goswami. In his heart of hearts, he accepted Lokanath Goswami as his eternal master. But Lokanath Goswami told him that there's no possibility of me accepting any disciples. I've never accepted a disciple in my whole life. And now I'm in such a piteous condition in separation from Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatan. Raghunath Bhat Goswami has left us. Kashishwar Pandit has left us. I cannot take such a responsibility. I am in no condition. Narottam Das Thakur did not push the issue. He just tried to do humble menial service. But it was difficult because Lokanath Goswami didn't let people serve him. So you all know that famous story. Where just to offer service, just to express his love, he would secretly go early morning to the place in the forest where Lokanath Goswami would respond to the calls of nature before taking his bath in Yamuna. And he would clean that place so perfectly with his own hands. Lokanath Goswami was wondering, why is it like this? Every day. So one morning he came early, very early, and he hid in bushes. And there he saw Narottam Das lovingly, with tears of affection, with his bare hands cleaning the stool and urine of Lokanath Goswami, as if he was worshipping a deity with such care. Lokanath Goswami was shocked. It was too much for him. He came out of the bushes. Narottam, Narottam, what are you doing? Why? You are a prince. You are born in royalty. You are meant to be a king. Why are you on your hands and knees cleaning urine and stool? And Narottam Das Thakur, with folded palms and choked voice, revealed his heart. He said, "Dear Guru Maharaj," he said, "I have given up all of the entanglements of the so-called wealth and enjoyments of this world, and I have achieved the topmost of all treasures, the greatest wealth, menial service to my spiritual master." Narottam Das Thakur spoke with such sincerity that Lokanath Goswami, his heart melted. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appeared to him and ordered him to initiate Narottam Das Thakur. And do you know how he did it? He brought Narottam Das Thakur before Radha Vinod. And with sincere and deep love in his heart, he spoke to Radha Vinod. He said, "Please accept Narottam. I offer him to you. Now he is your property." He didn't accept his disciples as his own property. He was offering his disciples to Krishna as his property. That is parampara. Nothing is ours. And the more we make spiritual progress, the more we realize nothing is ours. No one is ours. Everything is the property of Krishna. Preaching means to offer people Krishna's mercy. Becoming a spiritual master means taking the responsibility on behalf of Krishna to offer that person to your guru, to his guru, to his guru, and ultimately offering him at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. We are all just servant of the servant of the servant. That is our eternal position. We're never anything but the servant of the servant of the servant. And all so-called positions, however high or low they may be, are all different ways to express according to the need, according to Krishna's, according to Krishna or Guru's or Vaishnava's wish. But we're always just the servant of the servant of the servant. That was Lokanath Goswami's consciousness. And in this way he gave the Radha Krishna mantra to Narottam Das Thakur, who worshipped him as his life and soul. And after accepting the services of Narottam Das Thakur and engaging him in worshipping Radha Vinod, Lokanath Goswami entrusted Narottam Das Thakur to Jiva Goswami to train in the Vaishnav Shastras, where he became classmates with Srinivas Acharya and Shamananda Prabhu, and many others also. So here in Kadiraban, we remember the glorious character and qualities of Lokanath Goswami. Here we remember the playful and beautiful pastimes of Krishna and gopis, and Krishna herding the calves with Balaram and the gopas, and the killing of mighty demons. Such a inconceivable causeless fortune that we have to be here today in the assembly of so many devotees. Let us offer our head in the dust of this place, Kadiravan, and pray. Pray that we can chant the names of Krishna with such sincerity and serve the Vaishnavas with such care that the demon of hypocrisy, duplicity, and deceitfulness will be forever vanquished from our hearts. And let us pray that the sweet, beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna may forever manifest within our hearts. And how is that possible? Only when we follow in the footsteps of the great souls. It is explained that we must follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan to enter into Braj Bhakti. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that his eternal associates appeared in forms that really teach us, especially until we become very, very pure in heart, you know, what it means. Lokanath Goswami is Manjari, one of the principal Manjaris of Sri Vrindavan Dham. But he performed his lila of being such a humble, sincere, and dedicated Vaishnav. When we hear his pastimes, our hearts should cry. We should follow in his footsteps. In our humility, in our exclusive dedication, in our renunciation, in our love and trust for Vaishnavas. That was Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami could have lived for years and years and years in Puri as an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. But Mahaprabhu ordered him to remain here. Of course, it's Vrindavan. But still, for him, Krishna was living in Puri. Radha and Krishna were living in Puri. gopis in Vrindavan. It was an austerity for him. But he took the order of Guru and Krishna as his life and soul, not his heart's desire. That is Lokanath Goswami. Let us follow in his footsteps. And then we'll understand what it means to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And gradually, when we really please Lokanath Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and these great souls, then they will reveal to us with our pure hearts, you know, the eternal Leela of Braj. Let this be our prayer. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ready loudly, please. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. What is the use of your being 2,000 people if you can only chant like that? Ready loudly, please.